Hey, welcome back to Edge of Indy. We've got some great favorites of Indianapolis today. We've got Union Jack Pub, as well as the Indianapolis Zoo. So you got to stay tuned for all of Edge of Indy today.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
So welcome to Edge of Indy. If you haven't caught this show before on Facebook Live, shame on you. Why? What are you talking about? You think you're an Indianapolis fan? Well, you haven't seen Edge of Indy. What we're doing here on a regular basis is focusing on innovators, some great movers and shakers inside of Indianapolis, who provides great cultural benefit in this city. We feature people and organizations that are here helping make Indianapolis a great place to live as well as visit. So we are constantly talking about local and choosing local. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. My name is Aaron Sparks. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics. We're actually broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Site Strategics is a digital marketing firm downtown Indianapolis, and we do this show for the very reasons I stated, is to make sure that we are giving a showcase, a focus on the people and the organizations and the companies that make Indianapolis great. To my right, we have Brittany Simpson, digital marketing strategist. How are you doing, Brittany?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. And we also have Jay Wetzel, owner of Union Jack Pub. Jay, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I am pipe full of coffee today.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we'll see how everything goes.
Okay.
I'm
ready
scared
to play along.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Hey, we're glad to have you here. And I'm real kudos to everything that Union Jack's been able to do. But I do want to really talk about my favorite dish. And I want to give it difference to it has been named before to
Correct.
A city north of us, about two hours drive, but this has gone through a rebrand. What is the rebrand? What is the pie that I'm talking about?
I'm pretty sure you're referencing the former Chicago style deep dish pizza that I think many Indianapolis residents have come to know and love very much.
Absolutely.
We have had a few complaints here and there of people that come down and they say, well, this isn't a true Chicago style pie, da 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 da, sauce isn't on top, that kind of thing. And just in general, we have gone through sort of we call it pride in your city, pride in your pub sort of movement. And we just recently redesigned our menus and gave the exterior a whole big overhaul at the Broad Ripple location.
Very
and
cool.
We decided that, hey, honestly, this is our pizza. This is indie style deep dish pizza. So we have rebranded it as Indie Deep Dish Pizza. And it's something that is the pizza you know and love for many years, but it's just... it's saying, hey, we love our city.
That
so is this
fantastic.
Is Indy Pizza.
Excellent. So we can officially launch the Indy style. Well, let's call
nope.
it something else.
Let's
yeah,
I'm going to
say
that. Not
yeah.
those words. Let's
we
not
we don't
want to
refer
words.
To Indy style.
I just Indy Deep Dish Pizza.
Indy Deep Dish Pizza. Here on the edge of Indy, you're hearing Indy Deep Dish Pizza. That's fantastic. And we're going to have to get our hands on it, obviously. We're going to have to come in droves.
We'll
to
be
go.
There this evening. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah, I should have brought one down. I wasn't thinking.
No,
I'll
you're
take, a,
well,
I'll
you
take a my bet on that.
Dude, man, you did not understand. You didn't know
yeah,
how this has been a lexicon of consumption in my
He
in
has
my
been talking
history.
About it all week. I mean,
too. Well, hey, it's fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about Union Jack Pub and where you're located, and if you would.
924 Broad Ripple Avenue. We're right on the main strip there. We always kind of say that we are the gateway to the village. And yeah, you can't miss us. We've got flags flying from the top of the building of some of our favorite soccer supporter clubs there. So you'll see... well, there it is right there. That looks nice.
That's a beautiful shot.
Wow. Yeah, it's got some of the new exterior
I did my homework.
In there.
Look at
yeah.
that.
Yeah. We actually have the letters of Union Jack painted red there on the door now. So we're just in a couple of things. But man, yeah, that
it's
looks
a good,
great.
Good looking building.
Yeah, good looking building now.
Fantastic.
So yeah, it's people think that Broad Ripple is just... well, I take that back. Kind of the old idea was that Broad Ripple's a lot of college bars and different mm-hmm. things. And I feel like Broad Ripple's really starting to turn the corner and create its sort of new identity as the urban adventurer and people that there's so many cute little catchy places that yeah. are unlike us, not on the Strip. If you venture back into Broderpool, I mean, the whole community back there is just wonderful. There's Rusted Moon and plenty of other awesome places that, you know, there's nothing like that around in the city, really.
No, there's not. And I mean, Broderpool, by and large, is referred to outside of the city, outside of the state, as an iconic place. And you hear a lot of descriptions of other cities being like Broderpool, to be honest
right.
with you.
Right.
So Union Jack has been around for a very long time, and
we are the crown jewel of Broderpool.
I dig it. I dig it. So Broderpool's kind of all grown up. They're kind of finding their own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm there now, so I've really classed it up since I got there.
Right. And we really hit our stride since Brittany moved up.
Have you seen a lot of cans of Garden Party kind of strewn about?
Don't you talk about my cider habit. How dare you?
Speaking of cider, you got an event that's coming up in a few
days. That's right. And cider has just been added to it this year its own just for you.
Right,
yeah.
You.
It's our annual. It's been our annual Pumpkin Beer Fest, and this year we decided let's kind of broaden the appeal a little bit more. Let's include ciders and fall beers. There will be pumpkin ciders there as well, and there'll be traditional non-pumpkin ciders. But yeah, it's something that we used to have in our parking lot. Well, I tell you what, it started as a tap takeover in our restaurant, and we thought it'd be awesome if we got maybe 50 people there max, and we ended up getting over 100, and so the following year we moved it out into our parking lot and made a whole festival out of it, and now we're in our fifth year and we're moving out to Broderpool Park. Optimus Park, right by the Art Center there in Broderpool.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the home of the old Brewers Festival, the old Summer Guild Festival. So we're going to be re-inhabiting those grounds and expanding it even more. We kind of felt like there'd be more of a festival feel in a park, and that allows for a tent there and whatnot. So, yeah, we're thrilled to give it a go, trying to move it up the next notch in the world.
Now, there's something associated with that event that a bunch of the guys here at Site Strategics will be excited about, which is the Pumpkin Homebrew Competition. Can you touch on that? Because there's a prize, and I think these gentlemen here might be interested in that.
Yeah, there is, and we actually have, I want to say we've got 15 entries maybe in the Pumpkin Homebrew Contest. We actually have a BJCP certified judges that will be judging the homebrews. The deadline, I believe, is this week, because we've got to get them time to get them judged, and the winner will be announced at the festival, and then there will be samplings available of those who brewed enough to have samplings available of home-brewed pumpkin beer. So we're real
cool
excited about that.
That's really cool.
And, you know, it's fun because homebrewers, they can do so many. When you're not having to brew for a large-scale audience, you can take some more chances and do some more fun things. I'm not sure what the different varietals are that they're doing at Pumpkin, but I'm sure that there'll be something fun, unique, and exciting with them.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Jay, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask a little bit of your backstory and how you got to be the owner of Union Jack.
Well, it was a friend of my mom's was the current owner. Her name was Brenda Risingmore, and she was really involved in the community, and we were both on the Broderpool Village Association Board of Directors together. And
very cool.
She was deciding that it was probably time for her to pass the reins of the restaurant on, and she wanted someone that would keep the tradition and history alive, but maybe kind of breathe a little fresh air into the place. And she was sitting across the boardroom table and said she looked at me and knew that I was interested. And we actually just got back, some friends of mine just got back from Portland. We'd been taking a beer trip every single year, and this was our 10th anniversary. And so we'd picked Brenda's brain about what it would be like to open a beer bar that we would see in these other cities, where at the time there was no 20 tap, there was no Hopcat, there weren't these big multi-tap places.
Right.
And we thought she could maybe kind of give us a little industry knowledge and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So from there, fast forward, we had no industry experience. She looked at me and said, you know, do you want to really think about this? And I took a shift there and kind of trained and then just dove in head first, and we've just been swimming ever since.
That is awesome. So you were really investing into the Broderpool culture.
Correct.
Prior to owning a bar.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So you came in it as wanting to see good things come out of Broderpool.
Right. And the crazy thing was, I lived in Broderpool with three other guys. We refer to it as the Christmas house, or I guess is how many people referred to it as. And I showed you guys a picture off air.
Yep.
And a crazy thing from there, when we were all getting ready to move out, they wanted kind of the tradition carried along, and they had a Broderpool Lights Up Committee, and I got pulled into the Broderpool Lights Up Committee and helped them start the Lights Up parade. And then from helping Broad Ripple Lights Up, I got pulled onto the Broad Ripple board. And next thing you know, I was owning Union Jack and Broad Ripple, and now just don't have any free time.
Sky's the limit now.
Yeah, exactly. Sky's the limit now.
Oh, what a fantastic story. So we want to tell all of our listeners and watchers that if you get involved with your neighborhood boards, you too could be a pub owner.
That's
right?
True. I think it's a natural progression as far as I understand.
It should be.
Yeah.
By the time you do that many boards, you really do need a drink. Right.
That's true. That's true.
Can you tell us about your beer club program? Because it's awesome. And what I was reading about it sounds like everyone should want to sign up for that
They should, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like maybe we haven't done as good of a job marketing it as we should be. It's a nice little secret within kind of our pub community in a way. But if you drink 80 beers in the calendar year, January 1st through December 31st,
what if you do it in a month? Do you get extra?
You can. Like, tell you, we've had a guy. We've had a guy that one year did it 3 or 4 times, and you get extra entries. So if you complete 80 different beers, or divide it into 4 regions: Indiana, Midwest, U.S., World. Then if you complete those 80 beers, there's a prize at each stop. But the last one is you get invited to our Finishers Club dinner. And you get an entry into, we do it a reverse raffle style. So we bring a big hopper out of ping pong, or not ping pong balls, but tennis balls, and everyone's got their name on one. And the last person left in the hopper wins a trip anywhere in the continental United States to a beer festival of their choosing. So far we've sent someone out to Minnesota, we've sent someone out to Washington, and we've sent someone out this year, the guy's going out to Denver to the Great American Beer Festival.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's quite a prize that you could win, and it's nice and low key. Where before, I mean, you know, there's been about 30 or 40 entries. In terms of winning a trip for two anywhere in the U.S.
Oh, it's for two?
Yeah, it's for two. That's awesome. Nuts.
And all
isn't
you have
it?
To do is drink. What? This is perfect. This is the best thing ever.
When you like ciders, we've always got rotating ciders now too. I mean, if you could just...
I see so much opportunity.
Yeah. If you could choke down one or two beers, maybe, that probably would be fine.
That would increase my chances. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez. I'm entered to win.
There's no ongoing theme on this show, folks. It just so happens to be Brittany's pursuit of beer and beverages, right? Wow. Hey.
That's culture, right? That's what you promoted to be. That's culture.
That is culture. So
I'm very cultured. Okay.
there's a hop reference there, I think, that we can get into.
Yes.
Well, most people in the community know your establishment as a very soccer friendly location as well.
Correct. That was one of the things when we took over the pub. We really wanted to put a renewed emphasis on that, and we started making sure that we were open every Premier League match. So even at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, the doors were open if someone wanted to come in and watch the teams that were playing. And we became the official bar of the American Outlaws, which is the United States national team, their supporting group.
Oh, very cool.
And then we also have a big Indy 11 following. Slaughterhouse 19 is a faction of the Brickyard Battalion, which is the Brickyard Battalion as a whole is the supporters of the Indy 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we show all their games, and we get bigger turnouts for their away matches since so many people go down to the games themselves.
Have you seen consistent growth with that soccer community year over year?
We have. That
it's skyrocketing now, I think,
is.
In this community.
And I will tell you what, the atmosphere at an Indy 11 match is really, it's unmatched, I guess unparalleled. Mm-hmm. I think I was looking for a better
guitarist
looking
it's
there. so the way that I've seen the growth really is that people that have maybe been interested in Indy 11, and now they think, well, let me grab a Premier League club as well to kind of start following or have a little vested interest in. Mm-hmm. And I want to say also, I think the fantasy rise of Premier League soccer has kind of contributed to people following that league a little bit more as well. And so we'll see kind of greater and greater turnouts coming out for brunch Saturday and Sunday morning as people are interested in what's jumping on across the pond and soccer action.
Now, do you pronounce it football?
We say it both ways around there. We get it both.
It's football, right? What are the big horns? That
vuvuzelas.
Yeah, the vuvuzelas. Yeah,
I can't remember if I've got the app still on my phone or not, but that used to be one of our favorite things, was just kind of cue that up on an unsuspecting friend of ours and just let it go.
It's a very distinct sound.
It is.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not many vuvuzela choirs or anything like that. It's just really kind of...
Stands alone.
Yeah.
I know something else you're excited about. It's your new food truck.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that and where I can find it at all times?
Yeah. It is down at Metazo Brewing right now, and we are down there 5 days a week.
It's great.
And it's got many of the pub favorites on there, but it's also got a few unique things as well. We do some rib tips down there, and there's a little bit more of a varying menu. We'll take a little bit more kind of creative liberties and whatnot, trying things down there. And we're finally got a design approved for the wrap, and we're going to finally get it wrapped. We've just kind of let it be someone else's branding for the longest time.
Is his pizza on that by chance?
The pizza is not. Actually, we've got a couple devices we want to try in terms of maybe being able to do like little personal pizzas on there.
Yes.
So
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, so it's not out of the question yet.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, that was the biggest challenge, is that literally those pieces, the indie... Gotta struggle with that. The indie deep dish. Boy, I can't even bloody say it.
Right.
I'm salivating because of it.
He's drooling on himself.
But it's tough eating even one slice. Those things are huge. So...
So
taking it to that personal level, right?
Yeah, taking it to the personal level. I tell you what, to that same refrain there, we'll pull out carry out pizzas, and they're in their box, and I'll do arm curls with it as I'm bringing it up to a customer, and
but they're so good.
They are so good, and they will, you know, treat them right, and they'll last you a week, really.
I was gonna say, somebody like me, that would be like an entire week's
honestly.
Worth of
to be honest, back in the day, my old Broadway days, right? When I was the young mad youth that I was, that's exactly what I did.
Instead of groceries, you would just
buy. Well, in all full disclosure, I actually worked at Union Pub, Union Jack, a long time ago, a very very long time ago, and that was, you know, I'd be able to bring home a pizza, and that's what sustained me.
Yeah,
so funny.
And yeah, look where you are today. You've been sustained.
Look how far
I have. Thank
look
you.
How far
and I still have it on the gut. Anyway, more than the audience probably wanted to know there. Hey, a question from our online audience is literally, what's your favorite pizza?
My favorite pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what, one of the things that flies under the radar is our stuffed pizza. Do you recall those when you were working there?
I think so, yeah. It's
literally like a pie where it's got, you know, you've got your base crust layer, and it's this butter crust, and another one on top, and it's got
cheese
stuffed inside.
Yep.
And I mean, you throw anything in there. I mean, you can't mess it up. You pull one of those
challenge
guys,
accepted.
Yeah, and you pull one of those guys out.
I remember that. Yeah, that thing had like you had a choice of like 30 or 40 different ingredients.
Yeah,
that you could throw in that thing.
Yeah, and it is phenomenal. And like I said, I mean, not that any of our other pizzas are not. They are. It's something that I feel like it deserves its own little shrine, and maybe doesn't quite get the pub that. Pub being short for publicity, not public house, in this regard, that the indie style or the indie deep dish pizza gets on its own. So
that's right, we're not calling it indie style.
No, we're not.
We can't call it indie style.
No, at least not on this show.
No.
Right.
So you've got a whole new menu. You rolled out with a lot of different things here. So Union Jack is really getting a solid refurbishment, but you've also gone through the entire menu and really made some substantial changes. Can you tell us about some of those changes?
We added a few things. We added a few other things when we first took over, and we've just kind of tweaked a few things. I don't know if it's not been a big shakeup, but we've added a lot of vegan things. We asked our Facebook community, what do you want to see from us to kind of move forward?
What gaps were there?
Yeah. And overwhelmingly, we were told, you know, you guys need more vegan options. And so we accepted the challenge and did our research and came up with some different vegan item options. And now we've got people that will swear by our jackfruit sandwich. And we've also added macaroni and cheese. We've listened to some regular customers that said they needed a macaroni and cheese on the menu as well. So we do that there, and we also do that down at the food truck as well. So,
do you have cake?
We do have cake.
What kind of cake?
I'll see here. Vanilla caramel crunch cake. We also have a chocolate lovin' spoonful cake.
There we are. That's where we need that.
That's what someone's picking up from us for a birthday every year. They swear by that cake. My daughter's 2.5, and we set foot inside the pub door, and it's always, may I have a piece of chocolate cake? And I think we oblige probably a little too often, but it's gets the approval of young and old.
I am, unfortunately, I'm anti-car breakdown, but I can appreciate it by afar. Can't really do that. Can't really reconcile that with the pizza pursuit that I'm on right now. So I'm having
I can eat it near you. You can smell it. And
That's just wrong and mean. I'm challenged right now. I'm struggling. My inner demons are wanting to just jump over pursue the pizza crave that I have here. So I'm probably going to have to break the diet and come on over.
Carbs are, you know, it's all things in moderation, isn't it?
As long as I run from here to Union Jack.
Right.
Well, I'm not stopping you.
You certainly are focused. I mean, you're a edifice or a pillar in Broad Ripple, and you also have a good Facebook community, good social media community.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about how, as an organization, you focus on having that type of engagement? Because it's tough for restaurateurs and different organizations that are, I don't want to say mom and pop, but different. I mean, they're so focused on delivering good product and service.
Sure.
Sometimes it's tough to be able to really connect with
and you really are good to your customers. You sing their praises and you seem very appreciative of their business.
And so. We are so appreciative, because without them, we wouldn't be in business. And we just look at it as if we're in a partnership together. We're here to serve the community. We are here to offer them a place to celebrate a birthday, celebrate a holiday, or come together to grieve in the face of tragedy and loss, a place to watch soccer, a place to watch whatever you want us to throw up, if it's rugby, cricket. I mean, we've had, you know, requests, and we're just happy that people include us in discussions of community involvement. And I know the last political year, we had, I'm sure, people from both parties come out for different debate watches and different things. And we just, you know, we revel in that ability to be a community gathering spot. We've done, you know, rehearsal dinners and, various wedding things.
Are you open to me watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
We've had requests about that before. And I tell you what, we had, I want to say it was The Bachelor, Bachelorette. And I actually brought in like pillows from our house and blankets for these girls just to try, you know.
Good job, Jay.
Just to make yourself comfortable. I mean, it's a public house and we try to make it as absolutely public as possible.
I love it.
Well, that's unique in the realms of start and stops of businesses all the time. There's so many restaurants. We were just talking Snapshift here recently, and there's so many things that are being tried. Part of how you create an establishment is not the physicality, is how you establish yourself with the community itself, right?
Right.
So, I mean, what would be the key to three things that you would give for recommendations to other restaurants and the like that of how they could go about creating that relationship with the community?
I would say listen, try, care, I think are the big things. I mean, you listen to what the community wants from you. You try to do it to the best of your ability, and then you care about the community's feedback on, you know, did you miss the mark or did you nail what you set out to do? And I think those three points are things that we always say we're just trying our little hearts out to be the best we can be for you. So
good attitude.
Absolutely. Another question from our online audience. What other events? I mean, you are such a big member of the Broad Ripple community. What other events do you guys sponsor or participate in that the audience could potentially participate in as well?
Sure. And kind of the sponsorship deals, I mean, if we specifically say that, I mean, things kind of come and go. But at some of the other Broad Ripple events, we do like to help out with the Broad Ripple Lights Up, which we mentioned it's the parade. And they also do, I think, kind of some lighted, they encourage businesses to light up all of Broad Ripple. But it's really a unique event. It's the only twilight parade in the city right now. So people decorate their floats with lights, and it's a different, unique thing. Really a kid-friendly event. Another kid-friendly event, just as that comes to mind, is the Broad Ripple Duck Race. They drop, I don't know how many ducks. I mean, what, maybe 300 ducks or 500?
I stumbled upon that, and it is like some umteen million ducks.
Yeah, and there's just all these yellow rubber duckies just kind of floating.
Oh my gosh!
Down.
I had a flashback of what was the
WNAP?
No, the turkey drop from
turkey drop.
They have a KRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
As far as getting tickets to the upcoming festival, where can people secure their tickets?
You can find them online on our website under events, Pumpkin Beer Fest, also cool. through Eventbrite. I believe any quick Google search of Pumpkin Beer Festival, Broad Ripple, or Pumpkin Beer Festival, you need Jack. Well,
he's
got it up there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right over here, you can actually see /events/Pumpkin Beer Fest. But I like your SEO play right there. Yeah, if you just do the Google search, you'll be able to find it right there. Fantastic. Well, we certainly want to give our listeners, our watchers, access to all your social media. So we're going to throw a few of these up on screen,
and
as well as our social notes. We're not going to throw up on screen. So Twitter, you can find them at Union Jack Pub, as well as Union Jack Truck. On Facebook, Union Jack Pub, Broad Ripple. On Instagram, Union Jack Pub. And on the website, unionjackpub.co. So to get their tickets to the stripping over the words
just
today.
Just chewing on all those
saying,
words.
To the annual, the he's fifth
thinking
annual.
About, he's thinking about pizza right now.
All that cheese is just stuck in your mouth.
It really is.
It's gooey. It's the wrong way, right?
There's a wheel that just fell off the car, if you realize that. To get your tickets over at the for the fifth annual Pumpkin Cider and Fall Beer Festival, you can go to unionjackpub.co/events/pumpkin-beer-fest. Can we throw that one up on screen? All right, there we go. The tickets are $35 ahead of the event, as well as $40 at the door, and they're worth every penny. How many beers are represented there?
Well, I tell you what, at the end of the day, there's 40 pumpkin beers, and there's probably another 30 beers and ciders combined in addition to that for people that aren't also much into the pumpkin stuff. There's plenty of other varieties this year besides pumpkin.
And it's a 21 and up event, right?
It is a 21
Sorry,
and up event.
Sorry, everyone who's not 21. Wah, wah, wah. Go to Union Jack Pub and eat there instead.
Yeah. Just eat there. And do you have like a ticket that you can punch for all of the drinks? I mean, literally, if there's 70 different beverages, is there something that would win for that?
It's tough to hit them all because it's actually a ticketed system. It's a little bit different because we actually buy all the products. So we kind of make sure that we kind of
control
liability and different things. Yeah, that's got to be.
That's probably smart enough. Yeah.
They saw you coming.
Yeah, sorry. you've obviously heard about me.
No, that's a smart play, and that's a responsible play. Fantastic. Saturday, September 30th at 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Opta Park over at 66th Street. Is there anything else that you can share with our audience about what's happening at Union Jack Pub?
Man, there's always something that's happening there. I don't know. Just good things. Just good things are happening there.
It's all the good things, folks. So thanks so much. I appreciate your time today, Jay.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. Yeah,
it was actually a bit of a...
I'll see you later, probably, for some pizza.
I think I'm going to have to. I mean, you've broken my spirit. You really have.
Yes. Diets can't last forever, right? That's why there's multiple diets, because
That's right. Salads don't make you happy.
No, they do not.
Pizzas do.
Exactly. Salads are what my food eats. So, on that, thanks so much, and be sure to check out Union Jack Pizza.
Thank you.
Union Jack Pub. I mean, it's a fancy. It's right there.
He's drooling on himself right now.
All right. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Paul Poteet and have some weird and wacky news. And stay tuned, because these are some really odd stories, and get some weather from us. Coming up right after this.
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
There he is.
There he is.
Here I am.
Oh. It's Mr. Bean. Look.
Callback.
For those of you who don't know what we're saying, you need to check out last week's show. But that's not Mr. Bean. It's actually Paul Poteet here.
Yeah, went a pre-beard and mustache. I haven't gotten it since then, here in the last almost 3 years now that I went through this image change, that I've gotten the Mr. Bean comparison. Why did we, what story did we do that in conjunction with? That was people going to art museums and taking pictures of themselves with these historic figures that look just like them.
It was kind of freaky, actually.
Yeah, some of them are really close. Yep. Unlike the unfair and insidious comparison to me and Mr. Bean, the beloved English comedy figure. Totally unfair.
No problem, Rowan. Go on.
Yeah. So now I'm just looking like, people say that I'm kind of like a young Kevin Gregory. So
Wow. That's a weatherman joke right there, guys.
If we weren't friends, I had to search and think of him, okay?
Shots fired.
I have to make fun of somebody that I actually am in communication with. That's the rule.
So how are you doing today, Paul?
Pretty good. I think I'm mostly sunny right now. I found some good stuff.
Hold a second. Do you actually reflect on your mood based on weather descriptions? I'm gonna pause right here. You literally. So, what other definitions do you have there? Do you have like?
There are times I'm mostly cloudy. Trust me on that. Sometimes, you know, you're variably cloudy.
In
sometimes
a dense fog.
Yes, yes, sometimes. And just like in the real world, it's usually in the morning, you know, that you have that fog.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you have patchy, dense fog. You'd be
possibly passing hailstones, right?
I have a friend who, the older you get, the more friends you have with symptoms and things. And yeah, I have a friend who's has a severe warning out for stones and hailstones. Oh, yeah, that's
so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's painful.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
We'll send a fruit basket.
Well, just don't send like a grape nut basket.
Oh, but I'm boom.
Don't want to.
Thank you.
I can get it if you want me to. Let me get it within arms. Let me get it closer, just in case.
Are you planning for it? Exactly.
I'm going to be optimistic and think that I need it a lot. So, yeah, I think I'm mostly sunny today. Hope this Wednesday finds everyone who are watching us live, at least on the live stream, finds you well also.
No, we're happy over here at Edge and had some great guests, and we're about to have another great guest. So we wanted to pull. Exactly. Well, it all depends on you, because the show could fall completely
apart.
This
could be an all-nighter.
Yeah.
I'm bringing out my best stuff. I mean, I got dad bods, I got ugly parents, and a jogger who comes in number two every time she races. So stand by for news, America. All right. Hello, Americans.
Fantastic. All right. So we wanted to swing around and get some wacky news from Paul. So take it away, man.
Some things that I found on the edge. You know, the problem with having a dad bod, and there's two of us here, obviously, who would, qualify for dad status right now. Do you feel as if you have a dad bod on your own?
What the heck is a dad bod?
I don't really know. I guess it's supposed to denote that you're maybe a little bit.
That's what the dad. Oh, I see what it is.
You don't spend hours at the gym because you're busy with your, family.
Right.
I'll sit here
right.
Quietly. Go on, Paul.
Look at that graphic.
What does she think a dad bod is?
That's most important. I have no idea, but it's really disturbing what I'm seeing on the screen.
If your feeling is that a dad bod is like a little, spare tire, this guy has come up with a way that you can have the dad bod without the time-consuming trouble of overeating and sitting on the couch, because doing nothing takes a lot of time.
It really does. It's an investment.
It's an investment in being horizontal.
It's
so
a discipline.
If you're too active, or you're just blessed with good metabolism and you just can't achieve the dad bod on your own, take a look at this. Oh, this is Lord. Like...
There's a fanny pack for that.
Oh,
it's
my
a
bloody...
fanny pack that if you wear just below your t-shirt is all too convincing. I think you're like, I love this picture coming up here.
Of
this, the full length of the guy just standing there.
I like, keep going a little bit more. There's like a six of that. That is terrifying.
Well, now, not everyone has the same dad bod.
Look at the lower right one.
There's the Sherman that you might be looking at right now. The Sherman.
You can braid that.
Oh my God.
there's just the casual dad bod. You're just sitting around, and it's there. I think these are just in frighteningly
intoxicating.
well, yeah, sure. I can't tell if they're real or not. I got to get in there and just grab one.
It's making my left eye tear up. And I don't know what's happening.
It's like concealed carry for carbs. I mean, it's
that's a good one right there.
So you could,
for
you
Christmas, could. Which one would you like me to get you, Paul and Aaron? I will get you one as well.
I thank you for that. I mean, by definition, that means that we do not have that, and you know, that's a fantastic compliment. Thank you so much.
Do you want the Sherman, Aaron? Do you want the Sherman?
Only if I can braid it with beads.
I don't know. You shouldn't be able to buy something like that. You should have to earn that. I mean,
exactly. Comes... It does take a long time, relatively speaking, to be able to earn something like that on your own, right? This is a shortcut to the dad bod.
Did the guy, did he know somebody named Sherman? That's an oddly specific name.
I'll track him down.
I love the magnet.
let me find Sherman for everyone.
Three words, Google image search, okay? Sherman.
Sherman dad bod.
and honestly, you also notice that by necessity, those are all innies, not outies, right?
Oh,
I hadn't noticed that.
Stop it. You're going to make me dry heaves.
That is, I like the way we're focused on the Sherman. Okay. There were other dad bods too.
But the Sherman rose to the occasion. All right, we got to move away from this.
Because I might vomit, so we need to move on.
Yeah, well, here's something that's not quite as disgusting at all. It's just a jogger who wants to go to the bathroom on people's yards in Colorado Spring.
Okay, tell us.
I kind of got into this running thing about 9 years ago, but there's apparently a part of the process that I have never gotten around to, and that's using the bathroom during the run. Now, when I ran I did run the New York City Marathon, and there were some people along, there weren't all of the restrooms, the porta potties along the way that we have like in a lot of the runs around here.
Sure.
And I did witness some people like going off to the sides of buildings, trying to get off the beaten path a little bit, but not for this. I mean, this woman is full meal deal. I mean, she's she's not just tinkling. Let me revert to the Match Game 75 terminology here, which I think is still safe. She's not just tinkling, as they used to say on TV.
Oh my gosh. So it literally is the full meal, just in processed fashion.
My eyes still
the woman
my eye continues
been,
to tear.
She has been dubbed the Mad Pooper. Well. The jogger won't stop going and she picks the same house every day. Talk about, you know, you're in a rut. Kathy Budd is the mom who says her kids were the first people to catch the jogger in the act.
That's a good lesson.
You have to wonder if they were horrified or if they were just laughing, maybe, you know.
Well, I mean, she had the runs, right?
Oh, jeez.
Yes!
Indianapolis, that's, I'm sorry.
That's not what it means. That's not how this works. When I say I'm going, you know, I love a fun run, that's not how it works.
No, absolutely not.
And if you say that, you know, when she runs, she comes in third place, I'm going to throw you off of the show so fast.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm sorry, Indianapolis.
The Lieutenant Howard Black, who is a lieutenant with the Colorado Springs Police Department, says, quote, "This isn't behavior we see on a routine basis."
You don't say.
What I don't, you know, there's a line in this. Sometimes it's just the smallest thing, unlike, you know, the premise of the story. Sometimes it's the smallest thing that catches your attention. And in this story, the thing, it's the sentence that says, "A sign begging her to stop hasn't helped either." A sign? Here's your sign.
You have a sign, please. Joggers don't poop on the side of the road.
Please don't poop.
What has happened to this country? We have to ask for that? A sign? Sign, everywhere, sign. If somebody has gotten to that point already, they're going to be deterred. Oh, I forgot.
Well, the sign's there, so I'm going to stop now.
There's a loophole if they haven't put a sign up.
Well, you didn't say Simon Says.
Oh, I mean, my God.
Come on. So be careful if you're going to Colorado Springs over the...
Watch for the signs or the lack thereof.
Watch for the signs and for the stuff apparently just below the signs too, okay?
That is amazing.
So we've got... okay, now here's one that's maybe not quite as repulsive, but is somewhat ugly. Are you ready for this? if your kids don't, or if just random kids, not a, let's take your, you know, kids theoretically out of the equation. If kids in a, as a rule, don't seem to like you, mm-hmm. relax. It may just be because you're unattractive.
There we are.
If kids don't trust you, you might be ugly. According to a study in Frontiers in Psychology, children link trust to how attractive they perceive someone to be. Researchers in China, two groups of participants, kids and adults. And by the way, that is, if I saw that picture on top of the story, I'd be, you know, a little leery too, I suppose.
Was that from the Goonies? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the groups were presented with 200 neutral male faces looking directly at the camera, uh-huh. asked to rate them on attractiveness and trustworthiness. Researchers found kids ranked the, quote, hottest faces as the most trustworthy. Just
there it
like
is.
Just like adults. Ouch.
Wow. So this study didn't need to exist.
Are you saying that we all kind of? Well, I would say, yeah, I'm not surprised with the adults so much, but it is kind of, is it sad slash terrifying? The kids, it's already baked in the cake?
It's already baked in the cake, but the sheer fact that we have to do a study around that, who...
Well, it was started by a lot of really ugly people, Aaron, and so maybe they were trying to prove something. There are tons of studies supporting that stereotypically attractive people, as opposed to monotypically attractive people, are perceived as smarter, more successful, and more outgoing. Hang on just a second. How do I look today, by the way? Am I looking okay? Suddenly I'm very paranoid.
You need to shave the beard.
Were dad bods accounted for in the study? What role did dad bods play?
That's right. Maybe that's why. If you're a dad watching this right now and it seems like your kids don't watch you, maybe it's because you got a Sherman, you know, somewhere down there south of the pectoral muscles.
Okay? I don't know. Maybe the kids will look at that as a papoose or something like that. So that means more comforting than anything else.
But think of it. It is kind of mind-boggling. You think, oh, the kids are going to rely on you or be disposed to you favorably, no matter you're their source of everything, of food and comfort. No, they really want the hot mom from the Stacy's Mom video, you know, if I may do a, you know, late
that's,
90s reference.
That's wow. throwback ball.
That yeah, really
that's,
is.
That's all they're looking for from parents, apparently, is hotness.
Evidently. No point of mentioning the superficiality of this study, but you know, hey.
It's original sin. If you if you've never understood the concept of original sin, have some kids. But you know, so if the kids don't like you, it may be because you're unattractive. It may also be because you're pooping in their yard.
It could be one or the other. Actually, so they probably want to join in if that's the so. Honestly, if it all's weighing out, they're probably be more attracted to the mad pooper.
Well, if you take that last bond. Story, if you take it at face value, pardon the pun, then they wouldn't care about the person, you know, the jogger, as long as they looked good. It's like, remember the whole story about the attractive who was the guy with the mugshot and he looked like a model?
The felon. With the face tattoos.
The hot felon.
Who was kind of hot. Let's go.
Did she just? She just admitted it.
She did.
I'm sorry,
you
husband
just
of mine.
Admitted it.
I apologize.
All right, Ryan, just have to get some face tattoos.
For the sake of science, I just need to confirm that he actually was.
Wow. I'm just saying, maybe consider ink. All right, babe. I'm not sure if our kids are going to think much of you, though. But I love you. Believe me. So that's what we found this week on The Edge, ladies and gentlemen.
We went off the edge there for a little bit there, Paul. Thanks for bringing us back. So what's happening this week along with the weather edge?
Well, in Weatherland, it looks good, so we should all like it, right? We only like the stuff that looks good. It looks good if you don't mind the fact that fall is coming in with temperatures up around the 90-degree mark, which would be kind of ironic because we spent much of the summer not reaching 90 degrees. I mean, we've only done it, I think, about half a dozen, six, seven, eight times. So that's about a half to a third of what it would be normally. But we're going to finish with a flourish, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to you on Wednesday, the 4th. forecast has turned warmer after a couple of days of seeing some rainfall, which I bet a lot of you probably were pretty happy about because we've been running below average on that. 87 Wednesday and up around 90, but Thursday, Friday, upper 80s, Saturday and Sunday. So once again, we're going to have a pretty long stretch without seeing any big storms around here. The little symbol at the beginning of Wednesday was for the morning fog, in case you're wondering what that artsy fartsy, and I probably shouldn't use that term after this, what that little icon meant there. So fall arrives
never.
Friday.
It arrives never.
At 4:02 p.m. officially. That's when things start falling, unless you're in Colorado Springs. Fall could arrive at any moment, apparently.
Evidently so. Well, we have another hurricane brewing up as well coming in.
Well, at the moment, I mean, the terrible things earlier today and through the day today around Puerto Rico. This one is pegged at the moment to stay well to the east of the mainland of the United States. So at the moment, it's not as big of a concern as Irma was at this time. But boy, you talk about making up for lost time, like with us and the temperatures. A hurricane
weekly.
After however long ago Katrina was, that was the last active year, and that was some time ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, we make up for everything at once. Weather is fascinating because it's constantly it seems like trying to balance things out, which, as we know from being in the real world, is impossible. I guess that's why it's so messy. It's chaotic, that's for sure.
Not unlike the Mad Pooper.
It's hard. Well, the difference between her and again,
a hurricane is.
Yeah. I guess she's much easier to predict, unfortunately.
Especially with signs.
By the way, since you let us down this road, she's a category. She's a category two.
Oh.
We gotta go.
All right.
Forever. Man, look at the time. We have to go forever now.
I was looking. Look at my watch here that I'm not wearing on my arm. But that's the international symbol for, oh boy, look at the time, even if you're not wearing a watch.
We will absolutely officially apologize to Indianapolis after the show. So
I'm issuing an official statement, and I'm very sorry.
Good move. Very proactive. I like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks so much. That was very entertaining. And keep a lookout for those wacky stories. And some,
all right. I'll be there. See you soon.
All right, take care, buddy.
Bye, Paul.
Bye-bye.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Indianapolis, we want to officially apologize for the announcements and the Paul Poteet segment.
Oh, geez. Oh, Pete.
Hey, I want to introduce friends of the show. We have the Indianapolis Zoo here on the Edge. So, ladies, I want to introduce you to our audience. We have Carla Knapp, Public Relations Specialist of the Indianapolis Zoo. We also have Melanie Lordine, Conservation PR Specialist for the Indianapolis Zoo. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here.
I promise there will be no type of jokes as if you just witnessed in the previous segment.
I'm not sure I believe you.
And you shouldn't, so that's good. So long as the expectation is there.
Now it's in my head. So, hey, we've really been looking forward to this visit, and it's so nice to be able to have you in the studio. You're both with the Indianapolis Zoo, and somewhere I know it's very near and dear to our hearts. We've got a lot of animal lovers here in the organization itself. Can you give us some quick facts about the zoo and why it's so special to our community?
Well, sure. First of all, the Indianapolis Zoo, we are very proud to be one of the largest in the country that is totally privately funded. And we couldn't do that without the support of the Indianapolis community, without Central Indiana, and the people who come short distances, long distances to support our zoo and to support animal conservation. Mm-hmm. That means a whole lot to us. And we try every day to provide interactions with our animals that are inspiring people to want to learn more, to care more about those animals, because there's a lot of animals, species around our planet that need our help. So we're trying to tell those stories, educate people about how they can help animals around our planet.
So you touched on conservation, and I know you all, that's the heart of what you do. You actually work with 13 different organizations along the conservation lines. Can you tell us more about that?
Name them. Name them all now.
Oh, name them all, Melanie. In alphabetical order, please.
Do it.
Oh, that's so much pressure. But yes, we do work locally and globally with all sorts of conservation organizations. A lot of it is to help species that we have at the zoo, but some of them are other species that are just very endangered. We work in Tanzania with elephants. We work with cheetahs, you know, all over the place. And it's just wonderful to be able to not only help fund projects, but to be able to bring those stories to the people here in Indianapolis.
That's very cool.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a role, not just not from an entertainment standpoint, but from an education standpoint. The community needs to know how they are part of a much bigger picture, which is the world. And there's ramifications to what we do in the world, and be able to bring that home and be able to disseminate it not only to the viewer online, but also to present it to the kids as well. That's where everything starts, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me about some of the children's education that you provide.
Oh, gosh, we have so many different educational programs, starting for little wee ones, preschool age, going up to the young at heart. So depending on, I mean, we have, and a lot of them are opportunities to not just learn about animals in general, but you have opportunities to connect with animals up close, in personal, go behind the scenes at the zoo and really connect with those animals, because that's really how humans find a love for animals, is connecting with them one-on-one.
Yep.
And those are the kinds of things that we're trying to foster at our zoo to inspire people to care about conservation.
Very cool.
Excellent. Well, you got Zubu that's coming up around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who hasn't attended the event in the past, give us a little bit of a understanding of what that's all about.
It's a big event for you all.
It is a big event. And this year it got a whole lot bigger, actually. This has been an event that has been growing in popularity for us for a number of years. And we're so excited this year to be opening a brand new experience in Pumpkin Town, which is right up front and center in our zoo, in our brand new Bicentennial Pavilion. So this is going to be able to offer our guests lots of different experiences with a mirror maze, new animals that we haven't had at the zoo before, lots of different activities that are involved. So lots of different brand new experiences. And then, of course, all of the things that people love about Zubu, which starts, of course, with the animals at the Indianapolis Zoo.
Yep.
We have opportunities for our animals to get involved with themed decorations. My personal favorite is our elephant pumpkin smash.
That's fun.
It's so much fun. We once a day give our elephants an opportunity to come out and smash and stomp and munch on yummy pumpkins, because they actually really enjoy pumpkins.
They're
a delicious treat for elephants. And so I really love it, because all of the elephants have their own technique about how they're going to smash up a pumpkin. So our younger ones will kind of step on them and like beat them with their trunk. And we have one youngster who dives into it face first. So she'll kind of get down on the ground and like really smash into it. And then the older adults can actually pick up an entire pumpkin, put it into their mouth, and in one chomp, take it all out.
Wow. I respect that.
It's very
It's like
impressive.
Me and cake, really, is what that is reminding me of.
We can all relate, right?
No, you haven't seen her with cake. It's terrifying.
Well, I know another event a little bit further down the road is Christmas at the zoo.
Yeah.
Sure.
So can you tell us, I imagine that's all planned as well.
It is. Of course it is planned. We actually begin decorating for Christmas at the zoo months and months in advance, just because we have holiday lights covering the
beautiful.
Zoo.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for saying
that. No, it is.
It really is. No, yeah.
But yeah, we have lights up all over the zoo. And so it's a really spectacular experience to come after dark and explore the zoo. But we do have to start planning that months in advance. And again, just like Zubu, we have lots of brand new experiences all centered around our brand new Bicentennial Pavilion. So that is going to be the location for Santa's Village this year. Again, we have a mirror maze. Mrs. Claus's kitchen is going to be there where you can do some cookie decorating. We're going to have more up-close interactions with our animals, some penguins, maybe some other species, sled dogs, some reindeer. So all sorts of really great interactive experiences in Santa's Village, plus all of the things that everybody has come to love and expect about Christmas at the zoo over the years.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, all these activities, there are some, I mean, there's always some favorites at the zoo, right? We also heard there's some new babies on board at the zoo. I mean,
you heard?
Yeah, yeah. I heard.
I invited them to the show, but they were unable to come today. Yeah.
So tell us about these new babies.
Sure. We have lots of new babies, but I think everybody's favorites are our orangutans, Max and Mila. They are both under 2 years old. And if you think about human babies around that time, just very, very active, exploring, discovering everything about their world that is kind of new. They also have tons of energy and love to play together. I was actually at our International Orangutan Center earlier today watching them play, and they tumble around and wrestle around, and they're really good mates and so cute to watch. I could have spent hours over there.
Well, and I know in the spirit of these new little babes of yours, you all are also focusing heavily on offering orangutan friendly is it palm oil? Is that what it is? And you've got an initiative kind of focusing on that too. Can you tell us about that?
We sure do. And that's actually something that we're going to incorporate into Zubu. We've had it as part of Zubu for a number of years. And Melanie, if you'd like to expand a little bit
more. Yeah, what is it? Sure. So palm oil is actually an edible vegetable oil that comes from oil palm, the fruit.
Okay.
And it is something that's found in Borneo and Sumatra, and that's where, unfortunately, they are taking out all of the land that could be, you know, orangutan-friendly habitat to put in these palm oil plantations. So what's really important for us as consumers is to find certified sustainable palm oil or products that don't have palm oil in them. And it comes in things from candy to bathroom products.
Conditioners, probably.
All sorts of things. So it's something to just be very aware of as a consumer. But for us, for Zubu especially, we are making sure that any sort of candy that we pass out either has no palm oil in it or it's sustainable. So anything that we can do to tell our guests and visitors about sustainable palm oil is something that will help affect wild orangutans. And that's something that we, you know, really want to make sure happens.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, are there some pages on the website that we can, our listeners can go check out and be able to find out more about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go on the website, there is either a part under Zubu or under the Orangutan Center's page. And then our friends at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo also have an app. So you can get something very easily on the go. So you can check it while you're at a store getting candy.
No, that's awesome. Well, I keep on thinking about Zubu, and I just think about the image of these tall giraffes with a full bed sheet over there with little cutout eyes. Is there any way we could see that happen?
Well, probably not. maybe children would like to dress up as a giraffe ghost. I don't know.
Thank you for the assist, Cher.
That's nice of you to try and make that work.
I was kind of flailing out there. Well, finally, for anybody who hasn't been to the Indianapolis Zoo in a while, right?
Shame on you.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Come out.
I mean, you really should go out and experience it. I mean, there's such a community there. I mean, there's so many active participants, and the love and the care that that is practiced on a regular basis. I take the scouts out every once in a while to the zoo. There's different events, and one of the cool things is the kind of the sleepover where you can actually sleep with the dolphins.
Cool, right?
Not in the tank.
How do you do that?
You get a sleeping
bag. They get right in the sleeping bag with you? That's cool.
Actually, it's really creepy. And kind of funny is that you're down there in the lower observatory for the entire thing. And we roll out all of our sleeping bags. And all the kids are having a great time. It's bouncing around. When you actually start to bed down, they come around and they stare at you. And they're looking at you right there. The three or four dolphins are going, hey, what are they doing there? And the kids just love it. Because all those, it's after hours. The dolphins know that most of the public, all the public's gone, and what's happening? And they're just checking out all these scouts.
That's pretty cool.
It is really neat. I got some neat pictures a couple of years ago, and it was just like, okay, I'm this far away, and we're semi communicating, and it was just like, okay, this is kind of neat. It is pretty cool. So you offer up those events regularly, but there's so much care that is provided by the staff. The staff just love their jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Our animal care team is the best. Not just with, you know, feeding, making sure that the animals have proper health care, making sure that they have enrichment to make to keep them stimulated, make sure that all of those behaviors are things that we see on a regular basis. But they really, truly love the animals. The animals at the Indianapolis Zoo are not pets. So it's not the same as having, you know, a dog at home, but they are most certainly our family members. We have 1,200 animals at the Indianapolis Zoo, and each and every one of them receives individualized care and love from our staff. I can't say enough about them. They're incredible people.
No, it's fun. All right. Finally, for one fell swoop here, and for anybody who has not been to the zoo in a while, can you look at the camera? Let's go camera one and tell them why they should head your way.
The Indianapolis Zoo is my favorite place to be all the time. I'm there all the time. But no, it really, truly is such a wonderful experience for, you know, not just families with young kids. I feel like there's something there to discover for people of all ages. Like I said, I take my friends all the time. My husband and I go. The interactive experiences with our animals, whether you are feeding a giraffe or getting an inch and a half away from a tiger or an orangutan, those kinds of experiences foster a love of animals that is something that is so unique. And you're going to walk away with a deeper understanding of animals and why it is so important to save these animals in the wild.
That was awesome.
Just
give a
slow clap.
I know, that was like, I wish you could drop that mic right now.
Don't drop the mic, please. Don't do that. All right, here's how you can connect with the Indianapolis Zoo. The website is theindianapoliszoo.com. On Twitter, Indianapolis Zoo. Facebook, Indianapolis Zoo. And Instagram, Indianapolis Zoo.
Check plus plus for I'm all saying, your branding.
All
good
of
job.
Your brands there. So how can people make sure that they get tickets to ZooBoo?
We have discount tickets available at Indiana Members Credit Union's locations as of right now until they are gone. You can also go online to IndianapolisZoo.com. We encourage people to always plan their visit in advance, buy tickets online in advance, because that's the best way to save money. Our tickets vary by day. The farther in advance you plan your visit, the more money that you will save, and everybody loves to save money.
That's smart, yep.
Very good. Very good. So we are scrolling some links at the bottom of the screen. So check those out. Thanks so much for both of you coming on, Melanie and Carla. Thank you so much for representing the Indianapolis Zoo. Maybe we might want to mosey down there and do another show right there with the animals. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good. Come on out.
Sounds good.
Cool. So check out ZooBoo and all the activities that are going on at the Indianapolis Zoo. They're a fantastic community partner for Indianapolis, and there's such innovation happening there all the time. See what the staff is doing there and be part of that experience each and every year. So they got season tickets. They got year-long membership passes. And it's always great to be able to see what they have going on there. So thanks for everybody who's been able to help the show today. And you know, choose local often. involve yourself with your community, just like Union Jack Pub's doing, especially what Indianapolis Zoo is doing on a regular basis. So this is Aaron Sparks and Brittany saying goodbye until next weekend. Remember to choose local. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.